Take one of silence opportunity to prepare for the study of the word by making sure we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to provide it for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your word. Provides us with the information we need to have in order to understand your policy, your provision, and your grace. It's all based on your perfect integrity and love. It's deployed to us on the basis of Jesus. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit that the information is communicated, subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in our verse-by-verse study of Romans, we just finished verse 13 last time, where we noted the expansive translation of, for the hearers of the law are not just before God. In fact, the doers of the law will not be justified. And of course, that's a change from the way the English Bibles read, because they don't include the what we would consider to be a parenthesis, where the no is in advance, the first thing, and then within the friend are the doer, the hearers and the doers, which means doers and hearers are the same. The real point here is that the law has nothing to do with salvation. Now, when it comes to spirituality after salvation, the law can become a factor, because the product of the spiritual life would involve morality. But morality is not spirituality. So the common mistake that people make is that people have to be good before they can be saved, and that's not true. They have to be saved before they can be good, at least before God. So, and this verse clearly nails it. In fact, we'll get to verse 14 next, and it really drops the hammer on it. We noted that the English translations do not make it clear to the English reader, and that's the problem, that the Mosaic law cannot ever save anyone because they do not extend the not from the first phrase into the second phrase. And I characterize it as a two-input NOR gate, if you're familiar with logic circuits, and that's what it would be. So either one being true is a false output. So that's how a NOR gate works. So the point is that the law is not a factor in salvation or justification before God. Now, people have issues with that. In fact, the law is establishment morality. It's the core of it. So there's advantages to the law in the sense that it provides a protection from the devil and his evil. But it's not salvation. So the verse completely refutes the false assumption of hardcore self-righteous people who believe that learning and doing the Mosaic law will result in justification before God. And we're going to get to it later. We're going to see where Abraham believed in God, but it was counted to him as righteous. We're going to note that today, but we'll get to it in our study of Romans eventually too. And the point is that he was morally correct, but from other things that he did, but not before God. See, that's the key we have to realize. It's the only thing that stands before God is imputation. The work of Jesus Christ on the cross that enables the imputation of God's righteousness is the predicate for salvation and everything else that comes out of the process. And that's only based on faith alone. And in fact, Abraham is set up as the predicate for faith. You know, the entire Jewish race came out of that. In fact, the difference between Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the corresponding individuals in the system are related to faith. So you have Abraham, and I believe it was Terah. They're the point and counterpoint. Abraham a believer, Terah not. Then you have Isaac and Ishmael. Isaac a believer, Ishmael not. And then you have Jacob a believer, Esau not. Okay? So that's the propagation there. And so the Jewish race is actually created by three generations of positive volition to God as he was revealed to them. And so the whole predicate for a relationship with God has always been and always will be faith and faith alone, not law keeping, which is again contradictory. To many people, they think that you have to be good before you can be saved. And that was the big bugaboo with the Jews that came around chasing Paul down. They said, well, you got to be circumcised. Or some people these days say, you got to keep the Sabbath. Well, no, neither one of those is true. You don't have to reform at all to be saved. You just have to believe in Jesus. And what's interesting is if you do believe in Jesus, you will have the power, if you understand the system of being filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will enable you to change, which is ultimately objective. And it won't be changing from the outside in, it'll be changing from the inside out. See, if you change someone from the inside out, they're really changed. If you force compliance, that's not a real change. So as soon as the force is removed, the compliance will cease, probably, because it was forced against people's will. So you got to change the way people think from the inside out. And that's what God's system does. That's the difference between God's system and Satan's system. So by keeping the law, they produce human good that they use. This is the Judaizers is in the context. And it could be anybody that's legalistic. That they use to compare themselves and their self-righteous deeds or works with the sins and failures of others. And in this case, those who did not even have the law as a guide. Now, what's interesting is the next verse is the Holy Spirit's going to really pile on, because he's going to say that the Gentiles have the righteousness that the Jews have. The Gentiles have the righteousness that, without the law that the Jews have with the law. Now, that's really piling on. So but what he's making is a Gentile can be moral to the extent that one can be moral. And they're just as good as the Jews. Now, the Jews thought they were superior because they had the law. And the law was superior, but they weren't. It's a fact. I mean, they have a blessed gene pool, of course. And in a sense, they have a prosperity and blessing from God because of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You can't take that away from them. I mean, they have cursing on people who will beat on them or discriminate against them. So they are privileged. But as people, they're still people and they have sin natures. So the point is that the issue before God, that's the question, before God, what is the base? What is the factor? It's faith in Jesus Christ. So they establish, it's these folks that are legalistic, establish false systems of comparative righteousness and allege that God must accept it. See, they say, well, I'm a good person, so you have to accept me. Well, God does not. That's the same argument Satan made, is that you have to accept me even in my fall, because if you don't, then you're discriminating. And his whole agenda was based on trying to force God to not be righteous, which, of course, failed, because God did an end around on him with imputation. He didn't anticipate that one. So he's a brilliant creature, the most brilliant of all, I guess, other than Jesus, and would say that he missed that point. And the problem is his arrogance blinded him, that God would do an end around on him, which is what he did with the cross. So they demand that God accept it, but that is false assumption because God's integrity rejects every form of self-righteousness. See, God requires perfect righteousness, and there's no compromise there. Now, people would say that's judgmental. Well, if the problem with God's situation is if he accepts anything besides perfect righteousness, he's no longer God, because he has to be perfect. So he has standards that he has to maintain. And that's really true in our country today, too. We have people who accuse so-called people of privilege for establishing law or principles of order based on rules from the Word of God to some extent. And they say that they're judgmental because they refuse to bend those rules. Well, no, you don't bend the rules, because the rules define a system of morality that works. If you bend the rules, you get nothing. You get chaos, which is precisely what we've got at the moment. It's because people refuse to do the right thing. Now, that's a whole other problem. But again, the issue of the rules doesn't affect salvation. Anybody can believe in Jesus anytime, regardless of whether they're a law keeper or not. In fact, we see that because of people's tendency and arrogance to think that law-keeping is advantageous, they're actually impeded by that viewpoint in believing in Jesus. So that was the Pharisees' problem. They thought they were good. They didn't need saved. Well, they weren't good, and they did need saved. Every bit as much as everybody else. There's no difference. Their sins are different, but their sins are still there. Sins are sins in that sense. You know, some sins are a little more destructive on society, maybe. You got the Pope saying, oh, it's okay for a person to be homosexual. Well, that's a question of that's not his decision to make. Individual countries make that call based on their norms and standards. Now, it is a sin. He did say that, which is at least he said that. But, you know, is it a criminal? Well, if you look at it from the client nation perspective, it is criminal. Why? Because you're destroying the nation. They're perverts and they're, the other word I was looking for is they're parasites. I bet you never thought of a homosexual being a parasite. But they are. Why? They can't have kids. Realize the whole reason we're here is to have kids. I mean, get right down to it. I mean, a new generation of witnesses for the prosecution. That's why we're here. That's why I keep asking about back in Noah's day. Where were the kids? There weren't any. There's a problem with that, right? I mean, there obviously were some with the Nephilim kind of people. But the believers weren't having kids. There were only a few of them left. And they didn't have kids till after the flood. That's pretty nasty. Well, that tells you what's going on. There were no witnesses for the prosecution in that cycle, at the very end of the flood cycle, before the flood. That last 120 years. There were no more witnesses. Well, that's what's going to happen now in our country, in the world, as we approach the exit resurrection. That's one of the factors that's got to be involved. I mean, you can look at what are the factors? Why? Well, why would it happen at all? Well, there's going to be something that happens that prevents kids, because there's not going to be another generation of kids to witness for the prosecution. Although there'll be plenty of witnesses for the defense, but none for the prosecution. Where do they come from? Primarily, Western European nations. I mean, the civilization that came from Jerusalem and Rome and Greece and came up through. That's where most of the prosecution is, if not all of it. In fact, you think about it, it's the evangelism of those peoples into the other spheres where you get positivation there occasionally. Places like Mohammedville in China, places like that, Africa. Okay, so the advance of the witnesses for the prosecution come from the Western civilization, and that's what's imploding as we speak. It's imploding, which is of course exactly what Satan would have happen. We aren't going to mind either because we're going to get out of here. I mean, it's the exit resurrection. Whether it happens before we die or not, who knows? So, they establish a false system of comparative righteousness and allege that God must accept it. But that is a false assumption because God's integrity rejects every form of self-righteousness. See, it's relative. It's not absolute. You have to have the absolute perfect righteousness of God to be saved. And there is no compromise. If you don't have that, you are not being saved. And the only way you can get absolute perfect righteousness from God is believe in Jesus at this point. Now, there's other time frames that were different protocols that all revolved around believing, though. Faith, believing. Complete delusion by trying to do the law and the resultant self-righteousness that is not only used as a standard to compare oneself favorably with amoral people, like the Gentile, without the law, but also with God's righteousness. You see, there's comparison made both ways. They assume they're superior to the Gentile. They may or may not be, as we're going to see in the next verse. But say they are. Fine. How do they compare to God? They're nothing. They have no righteousness because it's relative. It's not absolute. It's not perfect. And most people, if you pin them down about their law keeping, they'll say they sin. Well, that means you're not perfect. You can't. You can't sin. No sin. None. Zero. The spiritual man does not sin. That's in 1 John. See? So when believers walking by means of the Spirit, they're not sinning because the Spirit is the source of the control of the sin nature, which is the predicate for sin. So the way the sin nature is controlled is by being filled with the Spirit. Rebound fixes the problem of sin. Okay, you rebound and it's judged and it's handled. Okay, problem solved. That's forgiveness. But now you got the problem of living the next second of your life without another sin. But how do you do that? Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Walk by means of the Spirit. That's how you do it. That's why the Spirit is the synchronon of the spiritual life. Synchronon means without which you can't have it. It's everything. You know, that's not focused on enough in churches. I mean, if people would teach people how to be filled with the Spirit and how to walk by means of the Spirit rather than about the law, they'd be better off. Now, the law comes into play with walking by means of the Spirit, though, because you've got to know what sin is in order not to do it. There's a factor there. The law tells us that's why Paul says the law is a schoolmaster. It does show what sin is. That's a good thing, because you need to know that at some point. But not for salvation. Rationalized self-justification is erroneously assumed to be an adjustment to God's justice or acceptable to God's integrity. In this verse, being a student of the law and being a doer of the law are both used for self-justification and self-righteousness. See, this, the doer of the law thinks they're superior to the student of the law. But neither one is, because the non-law keeper is just the same. And the next verse talks about the fact that the non-law keeper, who doesn't even have the law, be the Gentiles, make a law of their own that is effectively the same. Now, of course, it doesn't have all the detail. You know, if you look back at the Greek and the Roman cultures, they had more contrary viewpoints than did the Jews. Well, if the Jews obeyed the law. The Mosaic Law revealed nuances to perfection that they didn't pick up. But they did pick up a lot of establishment principles that were beneficial and helpful, and they lasted for hundreds of years as nations because of it. Right? So, I mean, they did approach it. It wasn't as good, but it was really good enough. Oh, as good as the Jew ever was, because the Jews didn't keep it. And it's not because they didn't keep it, they couldn't keep it. See, that's the thing you got to realize. It's not about their lack of desire. They couldn't. Paul tried to keep it perfectly. He makes the case that he did. And he did apply the protocols associated with the law and the ritual. Okay, so in that sense, he was compliant. But his problem was he wasn't compliant because he did sin. And he knew it. That's why he went crazy. When he got into this and understood this, he blew up with doctrine, man. He finally had the answer to his problem. He was always wanting to be the righteous person. And that's laudable, but he didn't know how to get it done. So he even recognized the failure in himself. And so when he saw this, he just went crazy. Because he said, no, I got the answer. He did have the answer. And he explained it in a way that nobody else really explains it. I mean, all of his books really address this, especially the Romans and Galatians, Colossians, Ephesians. They really nail it. Corinthians even. So all of his books, all of his letters pretty much nail it. He addresses it everywhere. Verses 14 and 15 make the case that the Gentiles, who are neither students of the law or doers of the law, can produce an equivalent righteousness that the Jews had, who had the law, since the Jews have developed their self-righteousness by comparing themselves with the Gentiles. So 14 and 15 are going to pound on the Jews for their arrogance. And it's basically going to completely disregard the law as any benefit. Now, it was a benefit, though. You know, Paul, in other passages, says that. Because they had a law. But this verse 14 is going to say they have a law unto themselves. That was just as good, as far as morality goes, pretty much. Now, again, there's some nuances that weren't carried over, that were not picked up on because of the fact that they didn't have divine revelation. I mean, there's always an advantage to have divine revelation, because he doesn't miss any points. But they did establish countries and nations and civilizations that were really powerful, and had moral standards within the scope of their ability to perceive it. So if the Gentile can produce the equivalent righteousness, self-righteousness, apart from the law, then obviously the self-righteousness of the Jew under the law is neutralized as far as the adjustment to God's justice. See, that's what we're talking about, salvation. Not morality, not the country, the status of the country, all those things. We're talking about before God, which is the issue in salvation. That's our context. That's the whole topic here. In this case, the Gentile production of human good neutralizes the Jewish production of human good, because the Gentile produces apart from the law or without it. So this eliminates the law as a source of justification, which is the allegation. The allegation is if you're a good person, you'll be saved. No. You will not be saved because you're a good person. First of all, you can't be a good person. You just think you can. Because you cannot keep the law perfectly. And the only way you get saved is to have perfect righteousness. That's the problem. They say this is good enough. Well, no! It's not good enough, ever. There's no such thing as good enough when it comes to salvation. You got to have God's righteousness, and it has to be perfect. End of story. You got nothing to say apart from that. Which means they don't have anything to say. The attempt to use the law as an instrument of salvation or an instrument of justification converts the law into an instrument of condemnation. Now, that's interesting. That's what comes out of here. So the fact that you have the law actually gives you more culpability, because you should know better. But you don't. See, you don't do it because you can't. Your sin nature wipes it out. That's why, I mean, that's the passage in Romans 8, 3 and 4. God, what the law could not do because of the weakness of the sin nature, God did through his Son. See, the problem is we have this predicate that's a sin nature that we get at birth. And that has to be handled. And the only way that can be handled is with the filling of the Spirit. Which has to, you have to believe in Jesus to get that. You see, that's the thing. So the power to deal with this, that's why people try to convince people to be good in certain spheres, but they're never good enough, and it's all relative. You know, the do-gooders are just relative. And they judge other people for not being as good as they are in their idea, in their eyes, but they're just as evil. In fact, they become evil because of their arrogance. They're worse. So verse 14, that's our next verse. So we'll read them through in the two languages. In the New American Standard, I basically have the first phrase in the New American Standard and then adjustments as we go along. It says, "For when the Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law unto themselves." And in the Nestle Allen doing a word by word, "When for nations," that's our Gentile, nations is the word, ethnos, that correlates to Gentiles. "The not law," no law, "having a nature of the law, might do these things, the law, not having themselves, are a law who demonstrate," are law. "Having to themselves our law." So they create their own law, which is just as good for self-righteousness as is the real law. Now, it's not as good as being, you know, accurate, but it's just as good for the self-righteousness that they're going to get from it. And it's just as good. The Jews can't do it anyway, so it doesn't matter. See, the point, the Jews have misused, or anybody that has the law, you can say in the United States, Christians have the law. But they misuse it when they try to superimpose it on evil people who aren't going to comply before they believe in Jesus. See, that's how Christians put people off. They say, "Oh, well, you're anti-abortion." Yeah, I'm anti-abortion because I don't believe murder is a proper thing to do. And I don't necessarily believe there's human life in the womb, but I don't think it's right to kill the biological life either. Okay. So, I don't approve of abortion. But it's not my job to judge you about that. You can believe in Jesus and then make your own choice. Okay. Because they don't have the power and the ability to make a right decision without the Word of God, without the Holy Spirit. See, that's the problem. So you're trying to convince someone that can't be convinced. The natural man cannot understand the things of God. Okay, so you might be addressing them with a spiritual perspective that they don't have. How do you expect them to understand? They're not going to understand. That doesn't stop them from being saved. So the issue is to get them saved. And then they'll come around to your viewpoint, eventually, if they have enough doctrine. They may never come around to your point if they don't have any doctrine, but that happens soon. You know, but we've got to give people space to make their own choices. So the point is, see, the amoral people say, "Well, you're going to make the place a tyranny because you're going to make us be moral." No, we shouldn't anyway. What did Jesus say to the woman who was brought to him in adultery? Now the story, remember, that was a trap. The guy wasn't brought over, and he was just as guilty. All right? But what does he say at the end of that, after everybody runs off, after he writes on the ground? He says, "I don't judge you either. Go and sin no more." That's what he said. All right, so he didn't back off on the fact that she's out of line. But he didn't judge her either. He left it to her to make the call. And she knew. It felt like she didn't know. So the point is, she just needed to have the responsibility. Now, how is she going to get that? Well, maybe she has to believe in Jesus. Maybe she doesn't have the power without that. Because she has a tendency in her sin nature to do that. And that can't be fixed by just saying no. I've talked about that before with drugs. That was Nancy Reagan's big thing. Just say no. No, that don't work. You've got to change them in the minds and the hearts before they're going to say no. Then they know why they're going to say no. All right? It goes back to that. I'm going to say no because I love Jesus more than I love that drug. And you still, they're going to fail on occasion because of this in nature. So you got to get the motivation right before you can fix it. That all comes back to motivation. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So for every time, back to our verse, for every time that the Gentiles, that's the conjunctive particle gar, that's four is gar, but the particle holan is used to present the subjunctive when the action of the subordinate clause is contemporaneous with the main clause. So the translation should be translated every time that, not when. Okay, so for every time that, I think, let's see, it says for when. See, it's got when up here in there. Well, that's not specific enough. It needs to actually describe a repetitive activity specifically occurring. So that means every time that. When is okay, but it's generic. All right? So that's a little more specificity. We're going to see that. In this verse, the translation is pretty good. They're not missing any big points. But they are, I mean, there's some specificity that's left out. And that's one of the cases. So it should be every time that instead of when, just simply when. When is too big of a bucket. Gentiles, that's from ethnos. So if we see the word Gentiles there, and we go pop over here, we see the nations. It's translated Nathans. There's our word ethnos, translated nations. See, basically the Jews considered everybody else beside them as an ethnon. That would be everybody, all nations outside. Now, previously we've been discussing Greeks. The word was Hellen, because that specifically addressed the Greek peoples, who actually had standing, you know, before God in a sense, because they had a reasonably good law. Not from God, but from their own figuring it out. Which is why they're one of the sources of Western civilization. You might say, well, why is Jerusalem, Athens, and Rome tied together with this whole thing of Western civilization? Well, it's because they had developed law that was representative of a decent morality, a country that would fight a divine establishment, pretty much. Again, the big problem they had was amorality as far as sexual things. They didn't pick that up. That's in the Mosaic Law. You know, so they didn't pick that part up. But they got a lot of it. They got a lot of it. Enough to make a country that would run pretty good for a long time. So, anyways, we have... So the translation should be translated every time that, not just when. Gentiles, that's from ethnon, is a subject in the nominative singular referring to the Gentiles. It's another anarthrous. So we've been seeing anarthrous and monadic constructions here lately. And anarthrous, remember, has no article in front of the substantive. And that means it emphasizes quality. And the monadic, you see this regarding God. You'll see the God and you'll see God. Okay? When you see God, or even Jesus Christ, you'll see the Christ and you'll see Christ. But when you see that differentiation in the original, not in English, because typically the English adds the article. It's just the opposite. But when you see the English or the original without the particle, it's relating to the perfection of it. If you see it with the article in the Greek, it's related to the specificity of it. So when you, like I say, that's why I say when you see the God, that's Jesus every time, because that's how he's addressed. You don't see that in the other context. The God talks about Jesus. Because Jesus is the God who's dealing with people. And he's the one he's the visible. We talked about, see how God is, well, if you look at the word, the book that Colonel Thiem wrote called The Trinity, you have calorific light and actinic light and visible light. Right? It's a little bit off track, but that's okay. Calorific light has to do with energy that you can feel, visible light, energy you can see, and actinic light is radiation. Well, if you make the correlation between light and the Godhead, that would be the Trinity, the Father is actinic. You can't see him, you can't feel him, but if you're too close to him, you're dead. The Holy Spirit is calorific. You can feel him, you can't see him. Right? And Jesus is visible. See, that's John 1:13. You know, in the beginning was the Word, that's John 1. And the Word became flesh, John 1:13-14. So that would be Jesus. So he's the God who's visible. And you go back to the Old Testament, and the Elohim or the Adonai they're talking about is Jesus, or becomes Jesus. So he's not quite there yet because time hasn't got right. But it's coming. So he got Jesus, or the second person of the Trinity, has always been the visible component of the Trinity. But they didn't understand the Trinity back then because they saw there was one God. That's all that was revealed. Now we get into the New Testament, it tells you about, oh, where's the Holy Spirit coming from? Where's the Father coming from? You see, that wasn't revealed in the Old Testament. So you got to go back through the New Testament, so the Old Testament, to actually get the thing straightened out. You can't come through the Old Testament because the Trinity is not revealed there. So if you start there, you're in trouble. You're going to get to the New Testament and you're going to go, tilt, I don't get it. Where's these other people coming from? Well, they're there. They've been there all along. You just didn't know it because they're not visible. All right, that's the point. So we have, this is another narcissist construction emphasizing the quality of these Gentiles. In other words, these Gentiles are pretty smart. They have quality because they didn't have the law, but they were as good as the Jews were with the law. Because they made an own law that was a pretty reasonable facsimile. Good enough anyway to keep them running. Oh, they had their problems. I mean, everybody has their problems. Even the Jews have failed. Who have not, that's our next phrase, who have not, who do not have, as well the New American Standard says it. From the present active participle of echo, that's our have, plus the negative me, not, the definite article is used as a relative pronoun to amplify the status of these Gentiles, and therefore we use the relative pronoun who for the translation. So we're talking about individuals here, individual nations, groups of people who had civilization but weren't in the Jewish camp. That they were powerful people, significant cultures. You know, so the Jews had the apex of the culture because they had the Word of God. That the others, like the Greeks and the Romans, eventually also had very powerful nations that were based in their own rules that they established on the basis of experimentation. The law, without the law, might do. From the accusative singular direct object of nomos, that's the word law, do is a present active subjunctive, which means subjunctive mood, maybe yes, maybe no. Do, poeo. The present tense is retroactive, progressive, describing something that might happen, in this case did happen, in the past and continues into the present. So we have a subjunctive mood. Now if you think about the words if. If and it's true, if and it's not true, if and maybe it's true and it's not, or is, you know, there's the four classes of if. Well, that always, when you see it, there's no if here. But if you're going to do an if, which you could actually impose one when you read it to yourself, what about if? Okay, in this case, they had the potential to do it, and they did. So that's a third-class condition. You see, that's of it, if you're going to view it that way. That it becomes a first class because they actually implemented it. See, they had the moxie to create a system of law that was based pretty good on the basic principles of establishment. Nationalism, stuff like that. Okay, freedom. Marriage. They had that. Freedom. Marriage. Family. Nationalism. Woo! They had all that. And that's what makes a country work. You know, our guys have forgot that. I mean, we got everything as a nation, United States. They won't even secure the border down there. There's nothing wrong with these people coming over legally. We probably need them. I don't know. I don't care. The point is they shouldn't be mobbing the country. That's a war. Which is what they're doing. It's not just here, though. Don't forget that. It's just as bad in Europe. You know who's the target of this? Western civilization. If you'll notice, nobody's migrating to non-Western civilization countries. You ever think about that? Who's orchestrating that puppy? The devil. That's who's doing it, because he's trying to destroy Western civilization, because that's Christianity. There's nobody migrating to China. There's nobody migrating to Mohammedville. All right, and you can pick a lot of places they aren't migrating to. Nothing in Africa, hardly. Oh, they used to back in the day when they were a Western civilization there, like Rhodesia and South Africa and places like that. They're all different now. You know, there used to be countries there that were part of the English and the Dutch Western civilization. Yeah, there was. We came out of that. But not anymore over there. Well, we still have it, kind of, maybe. I mean, I don't know if we have much of it left or not. We'll see. But the point is that that's what's under assault everywhere across the world, not just here. We got our problems, but they have their problems over there just as much in Europe. And it's all an assault on Christianity. And don't forget that, because the real source of this baby is the devil. He's the one that's doing it. And the people that are working the strings to make it happen are the devil's people. The demon-possessed and or influenced. I don't really care which. Doesn't matter to me. It should matter to them, because it's a whole lot better to be demon-influenced than demon-possessed. But you might make it to heaven there. With demon possession, you ain't getting there. So, whatever. So this thing happened in the past and continues into the present. So that's why it's kind of a perfective. Perfect means in the past, its results are going forever. Okay, so this has happened before. It's continuing to happen. And so it's nothing new. The act of voice, the Gentiles without the law, produce the action. They have never heard of or even seen the Mosaic Law. Remember, the law was given to Moses. Don't forget that. The peoples of the world, except for the Jews, did not have the law. Period. The only way you could get associated with the law was to associate with the Jews. And you got people that did that. But, you know, it was not given to the Gentiles. It was on purpose that God did that. Remember, he was seed of the woman. That's the purpose. That's the reason. The seed of the woman had to come from somewhere. And it came through the Jews because God blessed them through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because they believed. So that was the source of the channel and the predicate for it all. And they got the law at Sinai. That was their constitution. And they've been kicking down the road forever. Of course, they were set aside in 70 AD because they said no to Jesus. And now we have Gentile congregations. So they have not ever heard of or seen the Mosaic Law, but they have an equivalent righteousness. It's not good enough. I mean, don't get it wrong. Don't get that. Think that's any better. It's self-righteousness. It's not perfect, but it's as good as the one the Jews have with the law. See, because they're not perfect either. The subjunctive mood is a potential subjunctive with an element of contingency, and it did happen. Instinctively, that's our next word. That's, if we see it here, instinctively, right there, boom, boom. And over on the other side, it says nature. So this word has a kind of a two prongs, and one has to do with nature, and one has to do with instinctively. And that makes sense. You think of something having an instinct, it has a tendency to do something, right? I mean, animals have instincts. Okay, this is so people have instincts. So the nature of people with choice is to do certain things. So that's why we get this principle of having a law. Not from God, but from them. They made their own. The instrumental singular of manner from phusos. The instrumental is often used in the translation like an adverb. And phusos means a natural condition or natural characteristic. So that goes back to our nature word over here in the Greek New Testament. And it also means instinct or instinctively, so that is a good translation. So the New American Standard got that. They nailed it. That's a good, because they have a tendency to have an orientation to creating an environment of order. That's what people like to do. People like order. They don't like chaos. So this creates an order within that society. Borders, language, culture. Okay, that's what you get. And that's what we used to have here until we have been inundated with migrants. Now, that, again, that's good or bad. It's bad in the way it's happening. It might be good depending on what happens with it. I don't know. If they're saved and the people come here get saved and they believe in Jesus and that whole thing rolls out with them being oriented to the Word of God, it's a good thing. If it doesn't go that way, then we know what's happening. The devil's trying to destroy us. Just because the devil's trying to destroy us doesn't mean it's going to work. He's trying to do that a lot, you know. But God has a way of turning the curse into a blessing. So don't be surprised. It's just going to change the time of the exit resurrection from now or shortly to 100 years from now or 1,000 years, whatever. It could be a long time. We don't know. God says we don't know, so we don't know. So we have two conflicting viewpoints coming from different things that looks like things are coalescing in certain ways, but this whole thing could get trumped by positive volition in the United States, by people that show up here by breaking the law. But the law don't mean nothing, right? The issue is believing Jesus. If people believe in Jesus, we're good to go. We got a shot at getting this thing done. Or perpetuating our situation. Maybe we don't want to perpetuate it, but God does. God wants to perpetuate it because he wants everybody to be saved. The things, that's the accusative neuter plural of houtos, used as a demonstrative pronoun referring to the functions of the law, or more specifically, eventually those things. So there was his things of the law. That's we're going to see a slight adjustment here, but those things is good. Not having a nature of the law. There's our the things, the of the referring to this. So those things from the law. This is the ablative of source singular from the nomos, that's law, that should be translated from the law. They didn't have the law, but they did something equivalent. So we have the ablative source of nomos plus the demonstrative tarka of two. So they, in other words, this is their creation of a law that's not the law, which is what they did. The law was the norms and standards for their culture that they determined empirically how to make it play. And you see that again through the Western civilization as it comes across. And eventually it merges with the church, and that really kicks it into the high gear. Those not having the law is a nominative masculine plural subject from the immediate demonstrative pronoun hotus, again emphasizing the greatness of many Gentiles, plus the present active particle echo, plus the negative meh, translated not. So that basically those not having the law, we see that here, not having the law. There's our numeric standard. Does it correlate to those words? And over here it's not having the law. Okay, might do this. So the point here is, without the law, they created a system of norms and standards that were equivalent, functionally, to the perfect law that the Jews had. Because why? The imperfection isn't with the law, it's with the people. See, the difference here is that the Gentiles had an imperfect law with imperfect people. The Jews had a perfect law with imperfect people. But there's no difference in the end, because we got imperfect people. That's our Romans 8:3-4 package. You see, because the law could not do. The law was perfect. The law couldn't do it because it couldn't fix the problem of them being sinners. See, the law doesn't provide for that. It's still holy, just, and good. It doesn't take away from the law that the people are imperfect. The law is perfect. You can say the law is God. It's how God reads out in humanity. So that's pretty good. I mean, it's perfect. So that's what you got going. But their law wasn't. But it was good enough to give them self-righteousness, because you didn't think a Greek or a Roman thought they were superior to the other people? Yeah, they did. No difference, really, when you think about it. You know, the Greeks and the Romans thought they were superior to all the other ethnos, to use a Jewish term. This is a historical present. The active voice, the moral Gentile, without the law, produces the action by instinctively doing those things that are right. So the subset of that they had were right were good. The accusative singular direct object of nomos, minus the definite article, there we go, again, anarthrous, emphasizing the law is perfect. Just because people distort and misuse it doesn't detract from its perfection. So in this case, without the law, that would be the Jewish law, which is perfect. So that's anarthrous. These ones are not having the law, so the things of the law are not having the law. That correlates directly to the New American Standard right there, new not having the law. Is a phrase literally emphasizes on the fact that the Gentiles minus the Mosaic law can accomplish the same righteousness as the Jews can with the law. So the law is not an issue. It's only an issue to the arrogant, self-righteous people. See, the Jews think they're superior because they have the law. But they're not. The law is superior, but they're not. You know, they're superior in the sense that they're from Abraham, but that only goes so far. Jesus told them in John 8, you guys got to copy what Abraham did. What was special about Abraham? Well, he believed in God. Well, they hadn't. Well, they hadn't believed in the God. That would be Jesus. See, that was the problem. See, the God was being revealed to them face to face right there. Boom. They're talking to him. And they're saying it ain't God. They're trying to accuse him of being a bad person because he's saying he is. That was the big thing. That's why they condemned him. Remember, when they had their Sanhedrin court thing before they crucified, before they took him over there. This was during the night before he was crucified. The thing that made the whole deal with them was that he says he's God. And they wouldn't take that. They couldn't take that. Oh, okay. And that's why they took him over to the Romans to have them crucify him. So, whatever. I mean, they were rejecting the God. That would be Jesus. Because they had forgotten, they got away from the Mosaic Law and were into their Torah and stuff. Well, Torah. Whatever. The Torah is the law. Talmud. Yeah, the Talmud. I don't think it was written yet, but it was coming. So, they had their oral law. That was how they determined everything. Because they thought it was easier, but actually it broke down. It didn't work for them. It wasn't sufficient because it wasn't perfect. The law was perfect. The Talmud was not. There's our word aini, That's a to-be verb. The present tense is perfective present. It is used to describe the continuation of existing results. It's a reference to the fact that has come to be in the past, it has to be emphasized as a present reality. That would be they're establishing a system of do's and don'ts that correlate to their law. So they have the are, they are, that's our word, are, a law unto themselves is the phrase we're breaking down into right now. This has been true in the past, so it must be a reality right now. The Gentiles never had the law, but there always have been some Gentiles who had an equivalent righteousness without the law. The active voice states that the Gentiles without the law produce the action. So the point here is their do's and don'ts, the mores they have established for themselves, that establish them as a nation, are sufficient enough to give them the relative righteousness they need to function in the devil's world. Now, I didn't get them saved or anything. In fact, they're a long ways away from that. But in a sense, they're closer than the Jews. Especially when the Jews reject God, reject Jesus. See, that as the thing rolled out from Jerusalem, as the believers in Jesus who started in Jerusalem were running away from the persecution, and Paul was one of the main perpetrators of that initially, as they got into Gentile space, God says, no, you can't go there. These people are safe in my area. And you can have Jerusalem, you can have Samaria, and you can have Judea, but you can't have Damascus. And you can't have the Greek areas up north of there. They were Greek at the time. Ephesus and Miletus and whatever. A whole bunch of them up there. Asia Minor. So you can't have them. You can't go there. You may have synagogues up there, but you cannot go there. I'm not letting you do that. And he struck Paul down so that he couldn't do that. And of course, he converted him at that point. Paul was humble enough to recognize that he was out of line. That's amazing, actually. So, the active voice states that the Gentiles without the law produce the action. A law, the predicate nominative from nomos, that goes back, there's our law. Again, it's anarthos. Now, in English here, it's not anarthos. But if you go over here, see there's right there between the law right there, and then the law right here, that's in 15, that's coming up. There's no article there. It's just boom, boom. These law. See, this, but in English, again, we often add the article to give it the same idea. So that's why it has over here it has the law, and here in the New American Standard. So the adding of the particle makes the English more like the Greek without the particle. It's upside down. Well, it doesn't matter. It's just rules. Every language has its own rules. The predicate nominative from nomos. Again, this is an arthrous construction. In other words, without the law, they were a law. They were law. I mean, that's why there's no. Again, no article. Unto themselves. The data plural indirect object of the reflexive pronoun hutu. The data of indirect object from the reflexive pronoun indicates that the action of the verb is referred back to the subject as a blessing because they are a law unto themselves. So they were, because they had this set of norms and standards that were codified, and they complied with them to the extent that anybody can comply with any set of rules, because they have sin natures. They had a relative righteousness that God regarded as good as the Jews. But the only difference was that the Jews had a perfect law. But it's the same. So the point is, the issue is, the people in our context, the people we're talking about, are thinking they're superior, the one group is, than the other group because they have the law. But they're not. That's the point. So he's making the case, the Holy Spirit here, is making the case that these people are just as good as you. So don't get too hot on yourself. You know, that's what's going on here. He's hammering these people. So our expanded translation. For every time that the Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively those things from the law, these things not having the law are a law unto themselves. So they've created a law that is sufficient as far as their relative righteousness goes. This refutes the false assumption that doing the law justifies or adjusts anyone to God's justice, because the Gentiles produce the equivalent self-righteousness totally apart from the law. Some Gentiles in each generation achieve the same standards of morality and righteousness as the Jews do. Remember, everybody's got sin natures here, so everybody's failing. It's all relative. With the law, the Jews have the law, so they potentially could be better, but they're not. Why is that? If you break one aspect of the law, you broke the whole thing. That's why. See, just because they had a perfect law, it's like having a window pane. The window pane's intact. It's all together. But you throw something through that window pane, and it's busted. Well, at that point, it's busted the same as the other guy's law that wasn't so good. So that's what the Jews did, because they have sin natures. They couldn't do it. Now, they never were supposed to be able to. That wasn't even intended. They're misusing the law to get there, is the point. They're completely misusing it. And people here today who want you to be a good person before you believe in Jesus are doing exactly the same thing. And people who don't like Christianity have every reason to object to that. They got to believe first before they can get it. Okay, and you got to let them get them saved first. That's what you do first. You lead with that, and then once they get there, then they can get the gospel or the doctrine, and maybe they'll change their mind. And they do. People do like that. There's lots of people that get involved with Jesus Christ, and suddenly they're a different person. Why? Because they're being led by the Spirit. Instead of the Spirit beating on them. All right? It's just that simple. Once you have the work of the Spirit in you, advancing you, he's a schoolmaster. He's teaching us. He's coming alongside. Instead of convicting us. See, that's what happens. The Holy Spirit moves from convicting ministry to the teaching ministry. Wow. That's the purpose for it. But you got to be a believer to have that work. You can't be an unbeliever. Don't work at all, because you're not going to get it. The difference is that the Gentiles, apart from the law, achieve what the Jews achieve with the law. God is impartial. Both Jew and Gentile are equally guilty before the judge of the Supreme Court of Heaven. That would be Jesus. Remember, he's ultimately the one to whom God the Father has given all authority. That's in Philippians. There is neither partiality nor discrimination in any of the judgments from God's integrity. Neither the Gentiles' works that are produced apart from the law, nor the Jews' works that are produced by keeping the law, can attain salvation, adjustment to God's justice. See, that's the issue right there. How do you get saved? How do you get eternal life? Well, there's only one key to that. You've got to have God's righteousness, which means you have God's perfect righteousness. And the only way you get that is with no law. You can't keep the law and get it. This means that law-keeping is not necessary for justification, because no one, Jew or Gentile, can acquire justification by learning or keeping the Mosaic Law. That was where we started here in verse 13. One group was learning and one was keeping. Right? Neither one were sufficient because they weren't perfect. The law-keeping has never resulted in justification. Now, people like it. They like moral people. Why not? You don't get in trouble with them. They're not going to kill you or steal from you. That kind of stuff. That's good. But it ain't going to get you saved. See, that's the point. Justification is only acquired and has only ever been acquired at any time of human history by grace through faith alone. And this is where the Abraham predicate comes in. In Galatians 3:6, it says, "Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." So that's a quote from Genesis 15:6, which goes all the way back to when he was there. He believed the Lord, and they reckon him as righteous. See, that's the righteousness you got to have. And it's always been that way. From the get-go, back in the garden, when the man and the woman got kicked out of the garden in Genesis 3, they believed. They took the coats of animal skins, and they put them on instead of the fig leaves. They believed. And at that point, the patriarchal priesthood started, and that's where they were oriented to God through the appropriate sacrifice, relating to the death of an animal and the blood. That's a metonymy for the substitutional spiritual death of Jesus. So that whole line of history, of course, that was modified as you get down line from the Abraham, and it becomes part of the Levitical system. That's the Mosaic Law. And that ran all the way down from that point all the way to 70 AD, or actually technically it was terminated when Jesus was crucified. But they had another 30 years, 40 years to make adjustments, which they didn't do, most of them. Some did. But the church started right there, right after Jesus was crucified, Pentecost, 50 days later. And that's when the Holy Spirit's sent. And that's when we have the universal availability of the Holy Spirit to everybody. There's no specialized priesthood like there was during Levi or even during the patriarchal system. That means everybody's a priest. That's the precedence for equality that these people in this country are pining away about. That's the only precedence for equality. It's the spiritual quality of being a priest, a royal priest in the church, member of God's royal family, regardless of your gender, social economic status, or any of that stuff. It doesn't matter. That's where it's at. So we'll pick up here next time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you provide for us to study your word, the blessing it is for us to understand these things so that we are freed from the false assumptions that being a good person is the issue. It isn't. Now, there's issues when it comes to spirituality after that, of course, but it's because you've got to walk by the Spirit. And to do that, we've got to be applying doctrine, which is perfect. So there's places for this stuff to fit in. It just ain't where people put it in, where it screws people up and causes people unjust ideas about Christians. Help us understand this and take advantage of it and glorify you as we deploy your word under the ministry of the Spirit. We ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen.